welcome to the Life in Japan podcast by Gogo Nihon. My name is Sam and I will be your host. In this podcast, we will be talking about life in Japan as foreign residents, sharing our experiences about learning Japanese, traveling, working, visas, culture, and everything else we encounter in our day-to-day lives. Today's guest is Lena, one of our lovely school coordinators here at Gogo Nihon. Lena is half Irish and half Japanese, and she wants to introduce her Japanese hometown of Okayama today. Lena, thank you so much for joining today. Could you quickly introduce yourself?
Thank you for having me. My name is Lena, and as Sam mentioned, I've been working at Gogo Nihon for, I think, 2 years now as a school coordinator. I was born in Okayama and then moved to Ireland because my mother is Irish, and then moved back here. And I've been living in Tokyo for almost, I think, 6 years now.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it feels like forever.
Since university, right?
Since university, yeah.
Okay. How old were you when you left Okayama to go to Dublin?
When I left Okayama, I was, I think, first year of elementary school, okay. So 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back, it was 2016, so I'm not sure how old I was then, but like 16, 17 mm-hmm. maybe.
Where exactly is Okayama located?
So Okayama is like the east of Hiroshima, which is maybe a more known prefecture mm-hmm. in Japan. It's in Chugoku region, so I think you could say it's the Midwest.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite place in Okayama?
As a high school, junior high school and high school student, I loved going to this really big shopping center that's in the middle of the city center. It's called Ion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can find all the shops and everything you need basically is in this humongous shopping center, and everyone, I think, in Okayama at least goes there for, you know, the weekends and stuff.
It's, oh, fun. Mm-hmm. Ion is a chain of malls here in Japan.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They also have like supermarkets and I think even like English teaching schools or something
they do,
like that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Japanese culture kind of circles around malls. It seems like that's pretty popular. Maybe it has to do with mm-hmm. how the summers get really hot and the winters
definitely,
get really cold.
Definitely, yeah. Just more convenient to be inside.
And they're all nicely air-conditioned or heated. Yeah. And there's like a restaurant floor. Mm-hmm. So it's actually pretty fun to mm-hmm. go to the malls here. So the most well-known place near Okayama is Naoshima, which is also called the Art Island. Have you been?
I've actually never been to Naoshima. I know that it's very famous, especially around that area. I think if anyone goes to Okayama, they want to visit Naoshima. And then there's a few islands around mm-hmm. Naoshima. So those small islands as well are also popular.
Right.
But I've actually personally never been.
Would you want to go?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think there's a big art festival every year mm-hmm. that everyone goes to.
It was really famous for that big pumpkin. Do you remember it? That was standing on the end of a pier and it was a huge pumpkin. And I think the pumpkin itself was yellow or orange and mm-hmm. it had black dots on it.
Oh, yeah. I've seen pictures of it. Uh-huh. I did not know that it was from Naoshima.
I think the artist is Yayoi Kusama, who is like a really famous Japanese artist. And she always focuses on these like dots. It's uh-huh, always uh-huh. very colorful and like lots of dots and kind of like cheerful colors.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, oh, unfortunately, you're kind of too late because the pumpkin was swept away by the ocean.
No!
I think it was last year in 2021.
No! It fell off? Like it just disappeared?
So there was a typhoon mm-hmm. down in Okayama Prefecture, mm-hmm. which it's pretty common to have typhoons in Japan, especially mm-hmm. around like June, July.
Yeah.
That's usually when the weather changes and the typhoons come in. And the ocean water, because it was standing at the end of a pier, mm-hmm. the ocean water just kind of got a bit higher and swept it away. It's pretty tragic.
Oh my god.
But the rest of the island supposedly is really nice too. Mm-hmm. I've never been either, but supposedly it's like super worth it. Have you visited any of the other islands in the area?
I haven't. It's called, I think, Seto Uchi, the sea that those areas are on.
I feel like that's a citrus fruit as well. Could that be?
I'm not sure. Seto Uchi, like an orange or something?
Yeah, I feel like it's like a...
I've never heard of it.
When I go to the supermarket, I sometimes mm-hmm. see it.
Oh,
it's
maybe.
Like an orange,
I think,
or a lemon.
Yeah, I think maybe because Okayama is famous for like fruits.
Ah.
And especially in that area because it's so sunny all the time. We have maybe a lot of fruits coming to Tokyo that are from Seto Uchi area.
Ah,
maybe?
Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. that makes sense, actually. I see it in the supermarket all the time, and I thought it was just like maybe the name of the fruit. Or
uh-huh,
whatever,
yeah,
but
yeah,
no,
yeah.
It's the
I think
region.
It's the region. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Fun. Now, you mentioned that the weather is really nice. So, throughout the year, it seems that Okayama has like not a lot of rain and a mild climate. And I heard that it's also called the land of sunshine.
It is.
You live there. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely. Like, it's always warm. It never rains.
Wow.
Like, when there's a typhoon, for example, headed up, you know, from the south of Japan to the north, mm-hmm. usually the weather forecast, you see the weather forecast and like all the prefectures are like red, but Okayama is always like white, for example. Like, it's like, this area is not dangerous, you can go to school, there's no problem, like you can all go to work.
Oh no.
No trains are gonna be stopped. Like, yeah, it's very peaceful in that respect. Nice. But yeah.
Do you think it's because which one was it, the prefecture right next to it, Shikoku
is the region below.
Yeah, the big island, right? That's right mm-hmm. underneath.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I wonder if it's kind of like taking the biggest hit of the typhoons and not letting it get near.
I think because Okayama is like in between mountains, like really big mountains, it's not affected by the weather as much as other prefectures.
That's probably why that pumpkin survived for so long.
Maybe.
Because the typhoon
never reached. Such a shame. Yeah, it's really a big deal when a typhoon hits Okayama. Wow. We're not used to it.
That's actually so lucky, because typhoon season is definitely my least favorite in Japan. Because it's raining constantly. The wind is so strong. So even if you have an umbrella, you're pretty much at the mercy of the rainstorm.
It's also humid.
And it's so humid.
So, Okayama is humid, but it never rains.
That's so lucky. Do you have any beaches in the area or something?
We do. Like, that's Seto, because it's along that sea. It's quite popular. Yeah, I think maybe more, like, people enjoy going to the mountains more than the sea, maybe.
How fun you have both, the mountains.
Yeah, because we're surrounded by both,
That's so great. Another famous spot is Kurashiki, and this one might be worth it for, like, Japanese history enthusiasts out there, because I heard it's, like, pretty much still the way it used to look in the Edo period or something like this.
Yeah, I've been a couple of times to Kurashiki, and I think everyone in Okayama has been, even if you're not from Kurashiki City, you kind of have to visit, because it's one of the most popular tourist attractions, at least in Okayama. It's preserved really well, so yeah, as you said, I think everything is basically exactly the same. Maybe they rebuilt a few buildings because, you know, they're from Edo, so
they're
really, really old.
Did you do one of those boat tours?
I've been on it once. Yeah, I think you have to do it. If you go, you get to go around the whole area of Kurashiki, especially Bikan Chiku.
What's that?
It's like a town that they've preserved from Edo period. Nothing has really changed, and you can go around, you know, there's like little souvenir shops and stuff.
Oh, cute.
And all the buildings are, they look very historical, traditional Japanese. There's like a very big museum inside this Bikan Chiku. It's called Ohara Museum. And I think it was maybe one of the first Western art museums in Japan.
Western art, that's unexpected.
I think so, yeah, it's a cool combo.
Right? The best of both worlds. What was it originally? Was it like a merchant street or something like that?
I think it's just a regular town in Okayama. I'm not sure why that specific area was preserved so well.
But it's totally worth it. I've seen photos. Yeah. Unfortunately, I've never been myself, but I heard
really
that it's one of the most popular places inside Japan that still preserves that, like the Edo storefronts and stuff like that. And even the towns around Tokyo, like for example, Kawagoe, which is pretty famous for having like Edo storefronts and stuff like that and being pretty preserved, is actually, I heard, a replica of back then, and it's not the original storefronts, while in Kurashiki they actually kept the storefronts the way that they used to be. So definitely, if anybody ever goes to Okayama, Kurashiki would probably be one of your recommendations.
Maybe number one even.
How often do you visit Okayama? Does your family still live there?
Yeah, my family still live in Okayama, and I think I visit maybe two or three times a year if I can. I would like to visit more, but it's actually a little bit expensive by the bullet train if you go back I think if you go by plane, it's actually cheaper than going by bullet train from Tokyo, at least.
That's often the case, right?
Yeah, it is actually, in Japan.
They're popular and fast, but they're actually much more expensive.
They are. Yeah, I think it's about 3.5 hours it takes from Tokyo to Okayama. Mm-hmm. So yeah, unfortunately, I don't get to go back too many times a year, but yeah, 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, but that's still good that you can reach it inside such a short amount of time with the bullet train. Yeah, because oftentimes, even though the planes are faster, you have to go to the airport and check in.
Yeah, and then you get there to Okayama, and then the airport is kind of far from where I live, at least. So it's, again, another car ride.
Makes sense, yeah.
It's just more convenient to go by bullet train.
Do people speak in a specific dialect in Okayama?
Yep, so we have Okayama Ben. Ooh. Ben is what we call, like, dialect. Mm-hmm. The basic intonation, I think, of Japanese is very similar to how people talk in Tokyo.
Okay.
But, we kind of change some words.
So by intonation, do you mean as compared to, for example, Kansai Ben, where you would say suki, versus Tokyo, where you say ski, something like that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think Kansai Ben, they have a very different way of speaking, like the flow, I guess, of how they speak is a little bit different and their intonation is different. But yeah, in that respect, I think that is very similar in Okayama and Tokyo. Mm-hmm. We just kind of change up the beginning and the ending of our sentences a little bit. Yeah.
Are there any words that you think people don't know in Tokyo?
Words? Not so much, I don't think. But for example, if we say dakara, which is because, we change that to jakara.
Oh.
I mean, if you say it fast, it sounds similar, I guess. Jakara, dakara.
Yeah, that's true. Jakara, dakara. Oh, funny.
Yeah, and dakedo is like jakedo. So I think, I guess a lot of the da becomes ja.
Okay, that's interesting. What would you say Okayama is most famous for?
I think most people from Okayama would say the fruit. Mm-hmm. Because of the weather that we have, because it's really good and always sunny, we get a lot of really good harvest. Yeah, the peaches, I guess. I think peach is the most famous fruit that we're famous for. And then grapes as well.
Peaches and grapes.
Yeah.
Speaking of peaches, so one thing that I heard that Okayama is really famous for is the story of Momotaro.
Yes, Momotaro is basically like an old Japanese folktale. Mm-hmm. I think as kids, everyone's been told this story by their parents, you know, before you go to bed. It's about this boy who's born from a peach, hence the name Momotaro, because Momo in Japanese is peach. Mm-hmm. And then Taro is a very common Japanese name, so they've kind of combined peach and then that common Japanese name to make Momotaro. And he goes on an adventure.
Yeah, he's like exterminating
demons. Yeah.
I think he has like animal companions or something.
Yeah, right? So he goes like on his journey. He finds animals that want his kibidango.
Kibidango.
Which is another famous thing. It's a snack. It's like, you know, mochi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a mochi. Rice cake, yeah. He goes along giving his kibidango to these animals, and then they follow him, helping him to defeat all the oni.
What a cute story.
Yeah.
I actually know about the kibidango because you brought them back.
I did, yeah.
The last time you went to Okayama to visit your family, you brought kibidango to the office.
Yeah, it's a very famous... I think if you go to Okayama, you have to get kibidango as like souvenir.
They were really good.
Yeah, it's hard to explain the flavor of them because they're not too sweet. They're not sour. It's a very, neutral taste.
Right, everybody loves it.
Yeah, and then just like the mochi texture is, it's really great.
I know, Japan, there's like a big culture of bringing omiyage, which literally means souvenir from anywhere you travel in the prefecture. Mm-hmm, so anytime you go anywhere at all, you see like these huge shops that say omiyage, they have all sorts of really pretty packaged local specialties. So I'm guessing in Okayama it's mainly kibidango. Yeah,
for that definitely, it's kibidango.
You mentioned you were born in Okayama, then you moved to Ireland, mm-hmm. but then you came back to Okayama.
I went to primary school mm-hmm. in Ireland, and then I did middle school and then high school in Okayama, and then university in Tokyo.
What was high school like in Okayama?
It was really fun, especially because I chose a high school that had like a lot of different courses. So I was able to kind of use my English and get into this course that was like, I guess you translate it as like international relations course. Mm. So there would be a lot of like English classes and like, yeah, international relation classes, mm-hmm. and there would be a lot of exchange students from abroad as well.
Ooh, fun.
So yeah, that was a really fun experience, especially because in Okayama, you don't really get to meet a lot of foreigners, maybe, because there mm-hmm. are more Japanese people,
yeah,
obviously.
It's a relatively yeah. small city, I guess.
Yeah, it is, and like a lot of people choose to go to like the bigger cities mm-hmm. of Japan, so yeah, it was a really cool experience, and yeah, we had a lot of school festivals, and yeah, it was so much fun.
How would you say the high school in Okayama was different from, for example, Tokyo or any other bigger city?
I think there's, first of all, more students maybe in one classroom because there's less schools in general.
Makes sense.
What's different? I think we maybe study less because I've noticed ever since moving to Tokyo that a lot of students, not just high school, but like primary school, elementary, middle school, high school, a lot of students that you see like going to school or coming home from school, they're always like studying on the trains and stuff. And that's something you don't see in Okayama. Like, first of all, we don't use trains to go to school, but like we use our bikes or we walk. But yeah, I feel like maybe like less homework. I'm not sure. Maybe just the school that I went to was like that. But
so you didn't go to juku?
I mean, some people that I knew went to juku, but also my high school was known for like having good teachers. So mm-hmm. our teachers would stay kind of after school, like talking to us, teaching us about things that we didn't understand.
I guess maybe during the local, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we are definitely closer to our teachers, I think. Okayama, and also specifically in my high school as well, I think. And then, like, compared to high school, the middle school I went to was completely different. Oh, it was a completely different experience, especially because I was just coming back from Ireland. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the schools in Ireland and Japan, like, the whole system is different. So yeah, it was a completely different experience. There was a lot of Yankee.
Oh, really?
Which is a term we use in Japanese, I guess, to refer to, like, rebels, maybe.
Yeah, it's kind of like youth gangs, I
youth
guess.
Youth gangs, yeah.
And it is actually derived from the English, American mm-hmm. English word Yankee, but mm-hmm. it's not really meant as, like, a slur or necessarily. It's just, like, mm-hmm. their style of, like, hair. Oftentimes they have like bleached hair.
Yeah,
I think it has nothing really to do with like making fun of American culture mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a way to describe like the gangs.
The gangs, yeah. Just people, I guess, in a school context, it just refers to like people who don't maybe follow the school rules. They have like their own uniforms that they come up with.
Really? And that's okay?
I mean, no, it's not okay. But the teachers, and maybe this is also just in my school, but the teachers weren't able to say anything to those students because they would just fight back. And like,
what?
In the end, it's like the hierarchy is kind of messed up because the Yankees would be kind of like standing above the teachers almost. Like, and the teachers couldn't say anything to them. Like, they would be skipping classes, they would be riding motorcycles in the corridors, like throwing oranges through the window, breaking windows. I don't know, just they were all over the place. Like,
wow.
So, some people didn't even come to school. Like, there's different levels of Yankee as well. Because some would just like maybe not follow school rules, others would not even show up to school.
Wow.
You know? So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
You're really destroying all the stereotypes about Japanese people being so disciplined and well behaved
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
here.
Maybe it's because people are like that they feel like they need to rebel. I don't know. Yeah.
Do you think it's mostly like a small town thing because it's definitely more boring in the small town than it is maybe in the big city? Or
I think so. Like, I haven't seen any Yankees in Tokyo.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, right. You don't really see them.
I think Yokohama is a bit more famous for having gangs at least. But yeah, in Tokyo for sure, haven't seen any either. But usually, what are they characterized as? Like, what? How can you tell that somebody is Yankee?
How can you tell by how they dress? They're also like always together. Like as you said, there's like they're like a gang basically. Yeah. So like it's just like a group of people that
dress the same.
Yeah, they dress very similarly. Like, I'm not sure if it's a thing now, but at least when I was in middle school, everyone, all the Yankees, wore Crocs. They all wore Crocs. They all wore, like, ties for some reason. Like, you know, in Japanese middle school, you have, like, nice cute ribbons and stuff to wear with your uniform. But they would never choose the ribbons. All the girls would wear ties. They would have their hair bleached and blonde. A lot of makeup when you're not supposed to be wearing makeup to school. And, yeah, Crocs.
What's the craziest thing that happened to you in middle school?
So in middle school, we get a lot of fruits for our lunch, like the school lunch. Mm-hmm. And the main one would be an orange. And the oranges would be frozen. Like, I don't know why, but just... Mm-hmm. They were frozen oranges, and the Yankees would take these frozen oranges and, like, smash the windows with them. And I was walking on, like, in the corridors, and like I heard this like huge sound from like the second or third floor, and this glass had broken, and like all the glass was falling on top of my head, along with the frozen orange. But this happened like frequently, like all I don't know why, but the Yankees really like breaking windows with the frozen oranges. It was a trend. I don't know.
That was crazy, though. Oh, my gosh. So none of the windows were intact at your
Never. Never. There was always, like, I don't know, being fixed.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is definitely completely the opposite of what I imagined a Japanese middle school to be like.
Mm-hmm.
But do they actually bother people normally in their everyday lives?
Well, when I came to Japan, because I didn't look Japanese at that time... A lot of Yankee would come up to me and being like, hello. Like, expecting me to, like, to be a foreigner or to be, I don't know. But, yeah, usually they wouldn't really bother you. They just stay in their gangs talking within amongst themselves.
Okay, so it's not like the gangs that we imagine in, for example, the United States.
Yeah,
where
they're,
like, causing... public mischief or something like that. It's they mostly keep
they don't
themselves.
Bother you. I mean, at least you know, there's never like fights between non-Yankees and Yankees. If there's a fight, it's always going to be amongst the Yankees.
Right. Okay. That's good at least.
At least, yeah.
So you were not in any Yankee
I was
games.
Never, yeah. Thank God.
Any Yankee friends?
I think the last year of middle school, I became friends with this one person who I suspect did not want to be a Yankee, but was kind of forced into it. And he was, he was too deep into it to like become a normal student. So, yeah, but I sensed that he was nice. Mm-hmm. He was funny. Mm-hmm. And we became friends, and he kind of like tried to drag me into the Yankee group a little bit, and I was like, no. No, thank you.
And that's not a problem. You can just reject them.
Mm-hmm,
okay. Mm-hmm. And then you switched into high school, and everything changed. There were no
everything
more Yankees.
Everything changed. Yeah, there was no more Yankees. I think if you go to a high school that doesn't have a difficult, like, entrance exam, for example, like, if you don't need to pass a really difficult exam to get into the high school, then there'll be more Yankees.
I guess, yeah, if they never go to school.
You have to study in middle school to try to get into a good high school. And then once you're in, it's much more peaceful.
And that's what happened to you.
Yeah.
You studied, you got into a good high school, and then there were no more Yankees.
There were no more. I mean, there were a few in the area. So, like, maybe during lunch break and stuff, they would come into our high school and kind of, like, you know...
Hello.
Run around the corridors again, but yeah, no, no harm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. What an interesting look into the Japanese Inaka, oh. which is the Japanese countryside. What brought you to Tokyo, actually?
So I wanted to go to this specific university where you could do a lot of different languages. It's a language university. Mm-hmm. And that university was in Tokyo. So more than, I guess, wanting to live in Tokyo, I wanted to go to that university. And it happened to be in Tokyo. So,
well, we're also really happy that you came to Tokyo and that you became our co-worker. Mm-hmm. And actually, if anybody wants to study in Okayama, for example, Lena might be the one to help you do that. Thank you so much, Lena, for introducing your hometown to us today, and thanks to all of our listeners for joining. If you have any questions or feedback regarding what we talked about today, please send us an email at podcast@gogonihon.com. Or if you're interested in learning Japanese in Japan, visit our website gogonihon.com. We hope you tune in again for our next episode. Mata ne!